I want to talk about my best friend. It's good we had the Holy Spirit Day in the Alpha Course this week, and hearing Nikki Gummel talking about it, it's good stuff. And I'm not trying to put a different view from Nikki Gummel, I'm just putting how I feel about the Holy Spirit and some things he's been showing me. It's interesting that this slide was already on my PowerPoint with this scripture on anyway from last time when I was talking about Father God. But actually here it is talking about the spirit of adoption as sons, because it's the Holy Spirit that actually gives us that spirit of adoption. And I would say my best friend is Holy Spirit, because he's with me, he's inside me, he's over me, and he leads me to truth, he leads me to the Father. He's the one who makes me family with God. Love Holy Spirit, just really love Holy Spirit. He's the one who loves Father God so much that he wants to give Father his greatest heart's longing. And that's sons, children. He's the one who honours Jesus for what he's done in making it possible for the Father's desire to be fulfilled. Father, Son and Spirit, the greatest example of purity, power and love just revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. So Jesus prayed this, and I love this section of John's Gospel, because this is where Jesus prayed and said an awful lot before he was crucified. So anything he says here to me has massive weight and importance. Just incredible. And Jesus says this, he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And I think that prayer from Jesus, that promise from Jesus is incredible, because he knows he's going to go face the cross, and then he's going to ascend to heaven. And the disciples particularly, like, "We've just spent 3 years with you, and now you say you're going to go. We've just got used to the idea of you being around. We're just getting excited about what you're doing." And Jesus actually says, "It's better that I go, because what's going to happen, I'm going to send someone else to you who'll actually be with you. He'll live within you. He'll abide with you." And it's interesting that Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter." So the Holy Spirit comes from the Father at the request of Jesus. And again, we just see Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together in love toward us. He's here to help us. It says he's our helper. He comes alongside to help us. It says he won't leave us. He'll be with us forever. And he leads us into truth. Do you want a friend who's always with you? Always, always, always with you. He says, "I'll never leave you, and I'll always tell you what's true. I'll always tell you what's true." You can ask him the bluntest question, and he'll tell you what's true. You can ask him good, fun questions, like, "What does the Father love about me today?" And he'll tell you the truth. Isn't that fun? Isn't that awesome? We can have a friend who commits to us to help us and never leave us. Doesn't matter how broken our relationships are here in the world, he comes to make us eternal members of the most amazing family that exists. And I think that's just awesome. So I love Holy Spirit so much. I want to look just in the Old Testament as well. Prophetic promises. I've been reading Isaiah, and this is in Isaiah 59, right at the end of the chapter 59, this little bit here. "As for me," which is the Lord speaking, "this is my covenant," or my promise, "that I'm going to make to you, says the Lord, that my spirit which is upon you and my words which I've put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever." Hey, that's a promise. A generational promise. It's interesting when Jesus and even some of the apostles talk to people that come to them the centurion who comes, it says, today salvation has come to you and your household. Now, it doesn't mean that all the individuals in your household are automatically saved because you're saved, but the promise of God is to your house and to your generations. And I believe he'll fulfill that promise. They've still got to make their own decision, but I believe God's fighting for them. He's fighting to bring them through. I love this bit because it talks about the Holy Spirit and his promise and his word on our lips, which is the truth that comes from God, will actually just be always there. And the verses that follow that, because again, there weren't chapter breaks when these things were originally written, they just followed straight through. And we get to chapter 60 and it says, arise and shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Arise and shine. And that's because we've got the Spirit within us. This other verse I've put there, it says, and this is in Joel, and this is quoted by Jesus before the day of Pentecost. It will come about, they will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. And Peter said that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. What does it actually say? He'll pour out his Spirit on 120 people in the upper room, or 500 people in the upper room, or on the Jews, or on just a few select people. Peter said this was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Last week we were up in Sunderland with Dr. Ed Silvoso and our friend Ken Gott and the folks who are in Sunderland, and it was just great to meet up again. And actually poor Man Waring, who's going to be at Revive Conference, he just wanted to be in the conference with us. He just wanted to be there with Ken and Ed, and he was up there just as an attendee, but he did speak once as well. But Ed talks about how the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh, we should expect to see the work of the Spirit on all flesh. We should expect to see it. Sorry, it's just kids playing around. We should just expect to see it. And what we need to do is look for it and partner with it when it happens. And we find God working in the most unusual places. And some of the testimonies we heard of where the Spirit of God is at work is incredible. Testimonies that thrill our heart. It was fun, Viv, talking about that conference in Singapore this week between Trump and Kim Jong-un. And it thrilled my heart because I was praying for that and really believing. And then we heard from Ed that I'd picked it up, even though I know about it, that the hotel where they were meeting actually is owned by somebody that we know who is part of Transform Our World, a lady called Melissa. And her and her mum, when they built that hotel, planted Bibles in the foundations. And they prayer walk every single room of the hotel every single day. And all the time that conference was building up to that conference, and through the conference, all their staff prayer walk the hotel constantly. And I thought, yay God, isn't that awesome? He's prepared that place for a moment like that, that God has. That's the Holy Spirit being poured out and working. And I believe we'll see some incredible changes coming in future days, despite what the cynics want to tell us. God is at work. And God told us, Ed told us another story. Don't know how much you're into knowing about drug lords and things, but Pablo Escobar is a fairly well-known, or was fairly well-known, major drug dealer. Billions and billions of pounds worth of drugs into America. And I think he's dead now, isn't he, Pablo Escobar? But his organization still exists. And his chief finance officer has come to know the Lord. And he's with our friends in Mexico currently and just working things out. But then the current guys who've taken over the drug ring, and they're up in the mountains in Colombia, reached out to Ed Silvoso and said, we feel hopeless, without hope, and we want to get out. Is there a way out? Are we too far gone to be saved? They said, can we fly you out to our mountain? And Ed said, well, as long as I'll come back alive, I'll come. So we're waiting for that to happen. But the Holy Spirit is at work. Imagine that. People who've murdered and, well, just horrendous things, suddenly realize that they're lost and without hope, and are thinking, is there hope for us? Can we be saved? That's the Holy Spirit at work. It's just incredible, isn't it? How would guys like that think that and reach out to somebody they know is a Christian, an evangelist, and say, is there hope? And the answer is, yes, there is. I think that's just fantastic. Talk about arise, shine. And the God of glory comes to us when we respond rightly to the Holy Spirit. And a couple of chapters earlier, chapter 58 in Isaiah, the Lord talks about, isn't this my chosen fast, isn't it? We talk about fasting and we think about fasting, and the Muslim community have just finished a whole period of fasting, haven't it, where they do it. We think about fasting as missing food and stuff like that. But in Isaiah 58, the Lord says, this is the fast I choose, actually, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break out like a dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Wow. So put yourself into what pleases God's heart. Put yourself into a place where you're trusting the Holy Spirit to help you touch the homeless, the broken, the needy. That's what he would want of us. That's where he would want us to make sacrifice for him. And in doing those things, I love that bit where it says, and the glory of God will be your rear guard. That's a fancy way of saying he's got your back. He's got your back. Give yourself in the Spirit, arise and shine. Let your light shine in such a way that you fulfill the heart, fulfill the need to minister to the pain of Father's heart over brokenness and need in the world. Give yourself to what ministers to him, and he will sort out what is your issues. He's got your back. He will look after that if you look after his heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. He comes so that we can actually minister to the heart of God, because Holy Spirit loves Father God so much. And he wants us to be in that place where we can love God and do it. Knowing how much we're loved is really important. Knowing how much we're loved. It's quite a big deal. It's interesting. It's Father's Day today, and we don't make a big deal of it, and you can spend a lot of money on cards at Clinton's, and other brands are available, doing stuff like that. But we have an incredible Father in heaven. We have an incredible Father in heaven. And my kids just don't even think about it. I did get a Father's Day greeting from Nat. That was lovely. Thanks, Dad. Which was kind of fun. But it's about knowing how much Father loves us, knowing how loved we are. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so much, you know, we live after Jesus' resurrection. We live in the goodness of his sacrifice. We live in a place where there is a new promise, a new covenant, where his presence can always be with us. But in the Old Testament, in when they didn't have that sacrifice of Jesus, he still says to Moses here in Exodus 33, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. His promise to be with his people. He promises to give strength. He promises to be with us. Even to a stubborn and rebellious people, he says, I will be with you. Gosh, Israel were a bunch of moaners. And yet he led them faithfully and said, I'll still be with you. Because he loves us. This is the battle bit. One of my favourite stories in the Old Testament is Gideon. It's in Judges 6. And I haven't got room to put it all up here, but I've put some of it here. And you've heard me talk about this before. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. There you go. So the presence of God. The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. So let's listen to this valiant warrior, because this might be how you feel about stuff. Okay. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Feel like that? What are you waiting for from God? What are you saying? "Well, we've heard about your miracles here and there and different places around the world. What about me now? What about what I need right now? Where are you, God? Where are you, God, right now?" That's what Gideon's saying. Where was Gideon, if you remember the story? Where was he? He was hiding in a wine press, threshing out corn. But make pictures out of that, if you like. Bread, corn, wine. We just had bread and wine. Anyway, he was hiding in the wine press because he was afraid that the Midianites would come down and steal the last bit of grain that he got. And God, the angel of God, comes to him and says, "God is with you, O valiant warrior." He's afraid. He's not a valiant warrior. He's hiding. You need to ask what God says about you. "Father, what do you say about me?" Because Gideon wasn't thinking that. He wasn't even thinking God was with him. In fact, he turns around and berates the Lord. "Well, if you're with us, why is my life such a mess?" That's what he said. "I'm hiding here." It's interesting. The Lord looked at him. Well, imagine this. This is Old Testament. The Lord looked at him. Do you know, to behold the face of God was instant death. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" What are you talking about? "Go in this your strength." I've just moaned at you saying, I haven't seen a single miracle all of my life. We've heard of the stories of what's gone on in different places around the world and what you've done, but I haven't seen anything that tells me that you're a God of power and a God who delivers. What are you talking about? "Go in this your strength." God says, "I'm with you." "The Lord is with you. Have I not sent you?" There's the parenthesis, there's the brackets on the whole of that dialogue. "I'm with you. I've sent you. My spirit is with you." He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel?" Here we go. I'm going to qualify myself now. "Behold, my family is the least in all of the Manasseh, the tribe which you are, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. Who on earth am I to do this? Look at the state of my family." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." See how big the Midianite army was? 140,000 people, something like this, besieging them right now. Gideon said, the Lord said to Gideon, "You can defeat them. You could. You could defeat them." So he begins to get persuaded by God, and the story goes on, he lays out fleeces, literally, that's where the phrase comes from, to test God's word. I think God's very patient with him, because he does it twice. You just don't just hear the word of God and obey. You've just seen God face to face, and he said this to you. Can I just check this out? He's still afraid. We need to get this. He's still afraid. He's still not sure about this. And just a bit further down, it says in verse 34, chapter 6, that Gideon was clothed with the Spirit. The Spirit came upon him, or he was clothed with. It's almost like he, it's kids again, right? That he put on Gideon like a glove. He was just clothed with the Spirit. Just clothed with the Spirit. So filled up. And that's what happened to him. So now he was fine, wasn't he, Gideon? Raring to go. Well, he raises an army, 30,000. Well, that's not too bad against 100,000+. We got a bit of a chance. But we read the story, and the Lord says, you got too many there, Gideon, because people will not realize it's me that's fighting for you. And he whittles the army down. Do you remember how many he whittles the army down to? 300. Yeah, is there a movie called 300 or 600? I don't know, it's a different story anyway. But 300 against 100,000+. Oh, that feels good. That feels really good. But he's clothed with the Spirit. Let's have some good weapons then. At least let's have some good weapons. Now, how are we meant to go, Lord? Well, with a jar and a torch. An earthenware jar and a torch. This is good. We're going to club the Midianites to death with earthenware jugs. And the night before the battle, the Lord says to Gideon, if you're still afraid, he knows. I love this bit. He says, take your servant, Pura, and go down to the enemy camp. Oh, yeah, right, this is a good idea. If you're still afraid, just one of you, just the two of you, go down to the enemy camp. Sneak in, though, but we could do it sneaky. We can go sneaky. It'll be all right. Maybe we'll dress ourselves like the enemy. We'll cover our faces in mud and leaves, go combat style, and we'll sneak in to the camp. The interesting thing is the Lord said, if you're still afraid, go down to the camp. We know he's still afraid because he went down to the camp. He's hearing from God. He's hearing God's word. He's seen the face of God. He has got the Spirit of God over him, and he's still struggling with the task in front of him. We need to get with this. It's important. What happens? We know what happens. They hear a couple of people in the camp saying, I had a dream. And the interpretation of the dream is that surely God is with Gideon. A sword for Gideon, a sword for the Lord. And we're going to be defeated. So the enemy camp had this dream. They're going to get wiped out by Gideon and by God. So Gideon's now feeling, oh, well, that's all right then. The enemy's afraid. I'm afraid, but they're more afraid. Because they're more afraid of God. So they come to the battle scene the next day when all they're meant to do is smash their jars, light their torches and cry, a sword for the Lord and Gideon. And the enemy camp fights among themselves, 120,000 die and the rest run. They didn't even go. It's when the camp was empty, they went down. They said, let's go and get everybody else and come and plunder the camp. God has a victory for you. Might not feel like it right now. You might feel like you're beaten up, afraid, hiding, and he's spoken to you and you've heard his word and you went, yeah, but it still doesn't feel like it. And the Holy Spirit has come upon you and said, yeah, but it still doesn't feel like it. But he says, I will go with you. This is the promise that Jesus prayed of the Holy Spirit. He will be with you forever. He will not leave you. He will not leave you. I love it. Lots of other times in the Old Testament where the prophets speak, God is with you. The Lord is with you. Go in this your strength. Be encouraged. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. We need to take courage. To take courage means, or be encouraged means to just take courage. Get some courage. And the best source is the Holy Spirit. Because he helps us to hear what God would say about us. What does God want to say about you right now? You can ask him. Whether it's because you're feeling alone or deserted or feeling hurt or in pain or feeling lost. You can say, Holy Spirit, what does Father say to me right now? Just close your eyes. Just ask him, even right now. Father, in my need, in my isolation, what do you say to me right now? Listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. receive what he says to you. We talked about on Holy Spirit Day, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's two words that come out of the Greek and Aramaic that are in the Latin only translate as baptism, and there's bapto and baptiso. And one bapto is to dip, and one baptiso is to be immersed in. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, this is what Jesus says, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high, just like Gideon was clothed by God. Just clothed with power from on high. Jesus reminded them of this in Acts. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they'd come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is this the time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. So when we get baptized, dunked in, filled, overflowed with the Holy Spirit, we have power. And we have power to move in spiritual gifts. We have power to see people healed and raised from the dead and all of this stuff. We have power to be what? To be witnesses. To be witnesses. When we are clothed in who he is, there it is, to be witnesses, arise and shine. But if we focus on the power and think we're there to get the power so we can do stuff, we're missing the whole point of what Holy Spirit's come to do. He's come so that we can love Father God, so that we can know that we're loved and we can be loved. And to love Father God is to do the things that he wants us to do. And he said, go and minister to those in need. Go and minister to those who are broken. Go and minister to those who need. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. Why? So it pleases Father God's heart. Not so we can look spectacular or have a great ministry or something. It's so that God might be pleased. So that we can arise and shine. But coming with the Holy Spirit, we are changed. We're changed. So this is, again, Jesus in John 17. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. We're changed to become one with one another, because by loving God, we can love each other. 2 Corinthians, we all with unveiled face, well, we can behold the Lord, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, that we're being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes us from one place to another, but it always gets better. Glory to glory. So regardless of the stuff that's going on, and remember earlier I said, God's got your back. He's got your back. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. You are new. You are new. And I've written on my notes here, let's get pickled. Do you know how you turn a cucumber into a pickle, a gherkin? You dip it, bapto, in hot water, which tenderizes the skin. And then you baptiso, you immerse it, submerge it in the vinegar. And over a period of time, that vinegar changes the cucumber into a pickle. And it can never be changed back to a cucumber. You can't unpickle it. You can't take it out. I want you to get pickled. I want you to know that when you let the Holy Spirit come over you and immerse you, you will be changed and you cannot be changed back. Let's get pickled. Let's just not get dunked and softened a bit. Let's immerse ourselves in the life of the Holy Spirit. Let's let him do that. Let him clothe us with who he is. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that if we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. Get this one. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. Didn't promise us everything fine and dandy. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. The anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Everything out there, everyone out there, is waiting for us to arise and shine, filled with the Spirit that says, you're changed. You're a son, you're a child, you're an heir of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is to me. He's changed me, and I'll never go back. He's taken me from one glory to another, in which my heart grows ever fonder and ever more affectionate towards my God. Because Holy Spirit takes me to the places that please him and please Father's heart. And I know the embrace of the Father is pleased about what I do. I know he's rebuked too. I know when I've struggled with things he's asked me to do, and I've thought, I don't know. And he says, if you don't do it, then I'll get somebody else to do it. Do you want to do this? And what can I say to him when I love him? I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do what you want me to do, because there isn't a better place to be. And my best friend, Holy Spirit, just comes all over me again, just like those crushing waves. Just like those crushing waves. That's what it feels like sometimes. You get those moments, okay, when the wave rolls out across the beach and it feels like, oh, where are you, Holy Spirit? And you just breathe in again. Just breathe another moment. And here he comes again. Here he comes again. Holy Spirit crushes over us. There's a verse that says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Do you realize everything you do? And in times like that, when Caroline's exhorting us to meditate and even think of that, you can just go, say, in him I move, in him I live, in him I have my being, and breathe in. Because if that's true, then when I breathe him in, I just breathe him in, because I'm existing in him. And when we exhale, all the rubbish goes out, and we breathe in more of the Holy Spirit. And we exhale and rubbish goes out. That's what happens in our bodies. We breathe in the oxygen, the life, and we breathe out that which is toxic and would kill us. So even when you get those quiet moments, I exhort you to take up Caroline's challenge to meditate in quietness, but sense and feel the Holy Spirit come and invade those spaces. Breathe him in. Feel the embrace of the Holy Spirit. Feel God's pleasure over you. Listen to what he's saying to you. That's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's being immersed in that. Every single day and every moment you're aware and you draw on that presence and know that he's your strength, he's your rear guard, he's the glory of God that arises upon you, so you can arise and shine, and you will defeat the enemies in front of you. And while you're defeating the enemies that are in front of you, God's dealing with your issues behind you. I love that. Let's just focus on what he wants us to do. Focus on arise and shine. Focus on where he's got to go. He'll sort out this stuff behind. I know it's real. For Gideon it was real. Did God rebuke him? Did God slap him about and say, oh, blow it, I'm going to go find somebody else? Gideon railed back at him. And then when he thought he'd go out, and he said, well, can I just check it out again? And can I just check it out again? And I'm still afraid. If you're feeling fearful, it's tricky, because we're not meant to walk in fear. We're meant to be free of anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, the Lord says. But fear is real. I've said it before. If a lion came in this room, we wouldn't all go, oh, praise God, that's lovely, we'll all sit here in peace. Fear is real. It's meant to help guard our hearts against things that come to attack us. And fear can rise when things are not going right, because it's telling us we're not where we need to be with God. But in the fear, he says, I'm with you. Are you still afraid? We go, yeah, he says, but I'm still here. Just because we say we're afraid, he didn't say, oh, well, blow it then, I'm off, I'll find somebody who isn't afraid. He goes, no, when you're afraid, I'm still there. Keep looking to me. Let me clothe you. Let's do it. Watch me do great exploits in your life. Watch me do great things, and I'll get your back. I'll watch you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your love over us is so immense, so incredible. you love us so much that you sent Jesus to make a way. And when Jesus did what he needed to do, just die a terrible death, and yet he was raised again, taking with him the keys of death and hell, you send Holy Spirit to us to be with us always, to help us, even when we're hiding, when we're feeling battered and bruised. And we shout at you and rail at you, "Can't you see how I'm battered and bruised?" And you say, "I'm with you. I'm still here." And you say, "Get up, valiant warrior. Get up, beloved. Get up. Let's do this together." And we walk out with you. Thank you, Lord, we can do that. And I pray that today we'll all walk out with you and just sense the power of your Holy Spirit overflowing us. Amen.